From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Music, podcast, production. And if you're listening right now, you're probably, I don't know, it's not really the podcast if you're listening to extra. It's just like the re-air. But we do podcasts here at WXXI, and I need a little bit of your help here. See, if you're like tens of millions of Americans, chances are you're hearing a podcast through your headphones somewhere every month. The 2021 Infinite Dial Study measures podcast listenership and found that 41% of the U.S. population over the age of 12 can now be considered monthly podcast listeners. It's 116 million people. Writing for Vox in March, Nicholas Kwa reported that a wave of lockdowns and the loss of the morning commute last year led to a decline in listenership during that time. But as listeners and podcast creators adapted to the new normal, podcast listenership began to rise again. A number of media outlets have published lists of their favorite podcasts of 2021 so far, and our guests this hour are two of the smartest, and I'm like the least smart with pods. I'm always behind. My list is always very short and boring. They are interesting, and they hear it all. And so that's why Veronica Volk is here, producer and editor for News, Arts, and Life at WXXI News, and the creator of Earshot.
What an intro. That's fantastic. Thank you, Evan.
What is your actual Earshot title?
I'm the host and producer.
You like creator?
And, you know, creator.
Is good.
Editor, planner.
You own the rights.
I don't know about that. I do work for an organization.
Oh, you do?
Yes, that's okay. Right.
Welcome.
Thank you
for being here. Beth Larder is a school librarian, Gates Chilai, and an absolute podcast mega mind. Thank you for being back with us.
Thanks for having me.
It's been a few years since we talked pods with Beth as well. I am way behind. The one thing I'm up on is Earshot. And so I know it's sort of Homerism, Veronica Volk, but we are going to start there.
Let's do it.
Because you have done such a wonderful job here. And for people who haven't bumped into it yet, let's talk about it.
Thank you. Okay, so Earshot is our weekly news podcast. Essentially, what we do is we repackage a lot of the great reporting that's coming out of the WXXI newsroom and put it in like a really easy to listen to format right on a podcast platform. You can find it online at our website, wxxinews.org, or you can find it basically wherever you find your podcasts. And it's an opportunity for us to get a little bit more creative with our storytelling sometimes.
Okay. And so you've been, you know, you've got a number of colleagues already been on there with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, our great reporters from the newsroom have been contributing a lot of awesome, sound-rich feature stories. I actually have an example that I want to use from one of our most popular episodes. So this was back in July, July 16th. This episode is, the main story is one that we did with City Magazine about this anti-loitering device on Pleasant Street. And I really love it because it shows some of the flexibility for podcasts that we're able to do here and tell stories in a way that we haven't done. So we're going to play that for you right now. And I do want to warn you that this is the most annoying sound in the world.
Hold on.
Oh, I'm hearing that we don't.
Don't have it yet?
Don't. Okay, well, last week I got a call from David Andrietta. He's the editor of City Magazine. And he asked me to grab my recording equipment and meet him on Pleasant Street in downtown Rochester. So I did. I grabbed my mic and I drove down there. And as soon as I turned onto Pleasant Street, I could hear it.
Hey, you can hear it coming down the block.
Not the church bells. It was this high-pitched squealing sound. It seemed to be coming from Our Lady of Victory, a Catholic church at 210 Pleasant Street.
I actually thought it was the gate, but oh, that's bad.
In fact, before I give you a headache or a reason to turn off my show, I'm going to edit the higher frequencies down as much as possible. That's better.
Yeah.
All right,
so this is the woman who complained.
The reason David asked me to come down here was because he heard about this sound from the neighbors.
Lovely, isn't it? It's exquisite.
Specifically, this neighbor, Michelle Tucker.
Hey, well, and I'm right there on the second floor. My desk, I work right between those two windows. So it's like, I mean, I can't have my window open.
Michelle lives in the Warner Lofts right across from the church. And she says she's been hearing this sound for months.
I've been keeping a spreadsheet now. It's every couple of days, at least it'll go on. Sometimes it'll go on like today at 8 a.m. and it's just on all day long. I hear this noise in my sleep, it seems like.
So that story goes on to have a little bit of everything. You know,
there's such great characters in this.
I know. It's really fun to be able to explore and include more of those voices and people's, you know, natural reactions to things. this story, it has like this exploration of anti-loitering devices as having racist and ageist roots. There's this conversation with RPD about the whole thing in the middle of it. Eventually, the noise was silenced. And I really like this example because it also shows the collaboration that we do with City Magazine and that we're able to incorporate more of their stories on in our audio formats as well.
This is what Veronica Volk was born to do. I don't mean to pigeonhole you into one thing, Veronica, but you're the best I've ever met.
I love coming on the show so much.
When it comes to telling stories in audio format here, and I feel like what you've created with this podcast is a chance to collaborate with journalists in this organization to create stories that either expand on existing material. Sometimes you're meeting new people and you're getting these fabulous characters and slices of life in our community. It is like perfect for you.
Thank you so much. And that really hits the nail on the head, right? Like we do have a lot of newsy stuff. We respond to local
sure.
news. We cover the mayoral election. We talked about the resignation of Andrew Cuomo. But there's also an opportunity to have some of these like offbeat stories. Like we take a trip down the autism trail at Letchworth Park. We end up going into food trucks at the food truck rodeo. And there's just like a bunch of other real slice of life stories that we have on there. So if you're not already subscribing to Earshot, I would be remiss if I didn't take this opportunity to tell you. Please, if you're listening to the show, check us out wherever you find your podcast. Subscribe. Give us a shot. I think you're going to like it.
And drops when?
Friday mornings. So you can listen to it on your commute into work. You can save it for the weekend if you're walking the dog. You know, whatever you're doing in that 20-minute period where you kind of want to get caught up on what's going on around town.
Beth, you're nodding. Are you a subscriber to Earshot?
I am, yeah, since like episode one. I agree with everything you said. It's really great to get that slice of life. It's local. It's really well produced. It helps me kind of feel like I know it's happening. And I actually have had an easier time keeping up with it than like trying to read things. So it's been really nice for
Thank
me to listen
so
to
much.
That.
Thank you so much. And shout out to our amazing reporters, too, for, you know, doing that investigative reporting and feature reporting and producing those pieces as well.
When do you decide what you want to do in a given week?
What, for the show?
Yeah.
We actually have some planning that goes into it. A lot of
well,
these stories are...
Well, I know you do. I'm not saying you wing it on a Thursday.
I got defensive there for a second. A lot of these stories take a couple weeks to put together, just because there is a lot of natural sound. There's a lot of production that goes into it. There's a lot of interviews that need to be scheduled, obviously. So, we tend to not announce beforehand what's going to happen, because you never know what news is going to drop throughout the week that you
sure.
have to be responsive to. But every Friday morning, you can check out what we're covering.
I love that. So that's Earshot. And as we go throughout the hour, listeners, if you want to share what you've been listening to, what's new in your world, it has been a few years since we talked podcasts on the show. And before we get into more of the specifics that our guests have sort of chosen, we've got sound clips to share with you. I guess I'm curious to know what you, both of you think about the trajectory of podcasts and how permanent sort of a part of the scene they've become and if we've sort of learned whether length matters, et cetera. I mean, in the serial era, in the early podcast boom, there were a lot of imitators, and I wonder if we have any lessons to draw from that by now, Veronica. I mean, they're certainly not going away. Are we seeing sort of a plateauing of growth? And how
I
do
mean,
you
it's 2021, and we're still asking whether there's a podcast bubble, right? Podcasts have been, you know, on the forefront of media for well over a decade, two decades
Close to
at this
two,
point.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that as a medium, people really love it. They're drawn into this this way of hearing about either the news or comedy. You know, comedy podcasts are huge right now. 43% of podcast listeners are in it for the lols, which I respect. It's been a tough time recently. So sometimes you just want to laugh a little bit. But podcast listenership is steady. I think the hardest part, the challenge for us at a small station is competing with just like the plethora of content that's out there, just the absolute fantastic shows that come out from, you know, professional organizations on a regular basis. And I think we both have some examples of that that we're going to talk about today.
43% is for the lulls, really?
Yeah, they're comedy podcast listeners.
I mean, this summer I listened to a lot of Nate Bargatze. I couldn't believe I wanted to go back and keep listening. But I'm like, you know what? It's so non-political. And it's intentionally that way. And he said, you know, it's almost a distraction from the world. So some of his critics are like, well, you're not really saying anything that's important. He's like, well, somebody needs to not say something.
Would be like critiquing sitcoms on television. I mean, you don't always have to say something. Sometimes people just want to escape. They want to relax.
Yeah.
And you have to have content for people who want to do that.
Where do you listen to podcasts? I mean, like, because I listen on road trips when I'm on the road. I'm on the road a lot. What about you?
I'm pretty much always listening.
Always.
If I'm taking a walk, if I'm in the car, Long road trips, particularly. I love serialized podcasts, mm-hmm. like audio documentaries. It's fantastic. So great way to pass the time, but basically always.
Beth, where and when do you listen?
Yeah, I used to listen more in the car, and then I'm in the car less, I feel like, now. So I also started listening to them during my like little pandemic walks around the neighborhood. It was just kind of nice to like be moving and also learning something at the same time.
Yeah. All right. And are you listening as much as you did a few years ago or more?
That's a good question. I think a little bit less. I think I've kind of narrowed down to the ones that I really want to listen to. I think I used to just listen to absolutely everything, and now I'm kind of more in a time where I want to just pick a few and focus on them, but yeah, maybe a little bit less.
Last question on sort of the broader focus here before we get into the clips. Some people will try a podcast and are out after like 3 minutes if you're not in it. It's like reading a book. If you're like 10 pages into a book and you're like, this is not for me. But some people will finish it if you start it no matter what. Are you a finish it if you start at least one episode, or will you get out if it's not working for you?
Yeah, I think my attitude towards books and podcasts are the same, where I'll give it one episode, and if I'm not interested, then I have lots of other podcasts I can listen to.
That translates to what, like 50 pages maybe?
Yeah, yeah.
Something like that. But you can pull the ripcord and get out of there.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I think that's important. V?
I'll pull it in like the first 5 minutes.
You are so
Life is too short. Life is too short, and there's too much good stuff out there, and there's so much well-produced content coming out all the time that, you know, and I try to like bring this into my own production as well. Like you really have to grab people in the first couple minutes because you don't always have that benefit of the doubt. Like maybe it will get better. I'll just stick with it.
It's almost the case for me where it's like, I will get out of a book, a television show, a podcast if it's just mediocre and boring. But if it's like phantasmagorically bad, I may actually stick for a little bit.
Well, that's different. That's fun.
Was watching the morning show, the Apple TV show, which is, I can't believe I watched all 10 episodes. It's really bad. It's like the worst written show I've ever watched.
We're going to have another show on the morning show if everyone's
it's
paying attention.
It's the worst show ever.
I could not disagree with you more.
Did you watch it?
Absolutely.
Every other
Front
line is like a soliloquy on like, you know, like now here's a thesis on power. Here's a thesis on gender dynamics. It's not the way people talk, but it was eminently watchable. Like I could not stop watching it.
It's fantastic. It was good television.
I felt terrible about myself.
And also,
but I wanted to keep watching.
It's news or it's television about television, which is even more
Yeah, very
fun.
Meta. Did you watch that?
I did, yeah.
Oh man, see, did you like it?
I don't know if I enjoyed it, but I thought it was worth watching. I don't know. All I can say about it.
Well, let's get some pods here. And we've got three apiece to share some clips with you. Beth, we're going to start with Toxic. Tell us about Toxic.
Okay, yeah. So it's Toxic, the Britney Spears story. And it actually started, the hosts originally started doing like deep dives on Britney Spears' Instagram. Like it was just something that they did kind of for fun. And then the deeper they got into it, the more they kind of started to uncover there's something kind of weird about her Instagrams. They started really looking into her conservatorship and just everything surrounding that. And it kind of developed into this podcast where they really have done a lot of work looking into what has happened in Britney Spears' life kind of since she disappeared from public view for a little bit. And then that kind of led them into looking into other people who are kind of in similar situations but less high profile. And it's just been a really fascinating podcast series. They're still coming out with new episodes now, so it's kind of a developing story. But they've done a really nice job of doing the work of looking into not just the Britney Spears story, but kind of how her experience represents a lot of other people who don't have that level of fame. So, yeah, I have a clip from there, I think.
All right, let's listen.
For years now, the public's only view into Britney was through stilted, nervous-seeming Instagram videos. Posts where she's posing for the camera or dancing. She rarely speaks. I didn't know if this fiery person was still inside of Britney. Here she is, though, persisting.
The people who did this to me should not get away and to be able to walk away so easily. Recap. I was on tour in 2018. I was forced to do.
Britney begins her testimony by telling the court a disturbing story about what happened to her just after her Vegas residency, Piece of Me, wrapped at the end of 2017. She says her management team coerced her to immediately begin a world tour.
Okay. V, are you listening as well to Toxic?
Yes, and not to be political, but Free Britney.
Yeah.
Well, you can say it.
I will.
I feel like everybody who's watched, I watched a documentary on her this summer. I had no idea everything that was going on with her family. I mean, some just awful.
It's also so strange that somebody who had such a public life for such a long time was hidden away in secret, and yeah, people kind of forgot and moved on. So I think the podcast does a really, really good job of kind of digging into all of it.
Mm-hmm. You want to say Free Britney?
Yeah, Free Britney.
Okay. Are you on? I mean, you're on Free Britney, right? Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's free. It, to me, it's like the most logical thing that when people actually know the story, there's nobody who's like, yeah, this makes sense. This should keep happening like that.
It's also, when you look at a movement like the Free Britney movement, it was people who were like writing about this and having podcasts about this who were kind of serious, like intense fans for a niche audience that ended up bringing this story into the mainstream to the point where the New York Times is covering it. There's documentaries being made about it, and the trajectory of this person's life has the potential to be changed because people were in a room talking about Britney Spears.
I agree. I don't think that happens without the world of this form of media. I really believe that here. But there's new episodes still coming out of this?
I think so.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like there have been a lot of progress in that story. So, okay. Toxic. What's your next podcast, V?
Okay. So while we're in the realm of this kind of voyeuristic genre, I'm a huge reality television fan. And I'm actually of the mind that reality TV is like the most influential television genre of all time. And I watch it compulsively. At least that's what I tell myself. So I have...
to like justify it?
To justify it, yeah. It's actually a really interesting study into the human experience. And I suggest you watch it through that lens. But I came upon this podcast that came out this year called Spectacle from Apple Podcasts. And it starts all the way from this early PBS docuseries that kind of launched the genre. And it takes you through some of the best and most defining moments of reality TV from like The Real World and Survivor and all the way up now to Netflix's reality TV shows like The Circle. And I have the intro from that show, Spectacle, that we can play for you now.
You might think of reality TV as a guilty pleasure.
Basic, basic, basic.
Something you watch when nobody else is around.
So like, I have had sex, and Jesus still loves me.
Nothing more than an escape.
Let it be in the end the way Mother Nature intended it to be, for the snake to eat the rat.
But at some point, it became a lot more than that.
Kim Kardashian West met with President Trump yesterday, and it turns out she was there for something legit.
This is Spectacle, an unscripted history of reality TV. I'm your host, Mariah Smith, a writer and comedian who is basically sustained on a daily dose of reality TV. I watch it, I write about it. And I think it's about time we take it seriously. The Real Housewives and the Fab Five are as important to our culture as today's New York Times. I know that sounds crazy, but I talk to experts about it and they tell me I'm right.
I mean, what do we learn about Survivor? We learn that we don't live in a meritocracy. It doesn't matter how well you perform at challenges. If people decide that you are not their kind, they don't want you on their tribe, you get voted out. And that's a really sobering reality to kind of realize about our society.
In each episode, we'll dive into the ways these shows changed our culture in the last 30 years. And we'll relive the scenes that stuck with us, talking to the people who were actually there, like Queer Eye's Bobby Burke.
I think that one of our superpowers is the fact that we open up about our struggles and the things that have affected us most in life, both positive and negative, because that's what people want to see.
We'll start at the beginning with a show from the 70s you've probably never heard of, An American Family.
This became the first media circus, the first phenomenon of reality TV stars, because they became famous for just being themselves.
Shows took that winning formula and built on it. We'll go back to season one of The Real World, where a white girl explained racism to a black man.
I don't consider myself racist in any way. I don't even know how it ended up like that.
We'll dig into the latest shows, like The Circle, a show that's both dystopian and sweet.
If you would have played you, you still would have been my number one imaginary homegirl.
What do these shows say about us?
about who we are as a society. From Neon Hum Media, this is Spectacle, an unscripted history of reality TV, out February 2021.
It's very magical to watch these people just lie to themselves over and over and over. It's fascinating to watch the delusion of love.
Subscribe and listen wherever you get your podcasts.
And Veronica does subscribe and listen.
Absolutely.
That's the one of the only podcasts to make all three of Vox, Time, and Esquire's lists of best podcasts of 2021. Everyone is loving this.
It's incredible. And really, I think, like, yes, if you want to, like, binge watch Wife Swap on Hulu and, like, just be a garbage person, like, I'm here for that. I'm that person so much of the time. But also, if you want to think about reality TV as this cultural zeitgeist, I mean, in 2016, we elected a reality television star into the highest office of our country. And I do think it's worth looking at this genre of television through, like, this very interesting lens. So,
do you listen, Beth Larder?
No, I haven't listened to that one.
Sounds like you're going to now.
I probably will, yeah.
Yeah, you Okay, Veronica, I love that. I love how self-reflective you are, but you're not a garbage person. People like what they like.
It's okay. I think there's no shame in saying it out loud. I'm a little bit of a garbage person sometimes.
You are. That's awful.
We all need it.
You know, as I was looking at the lists here of all these new things from Spectacle to so many others, I do wonder how much you all still like the classics. And I was thinking of what is the episode that I most remember so far from this year. And for me, it was an episode of Reply All. Now, this is... Being me. I know. It's a classic, right?
I miss Reply All.
Well, you're like, Evan, you're a dinosaur. You're still listening to Reply All? It is, and this is an episode from back from 2017, but I had never come across it. I recommend this to anybody at any point. Please listen to episode number 86 of Reply All. It's called Man of the People. That is an episode about the most crazy, you cannot believe it's true, starts with goat testicles and goes all the way to the White House. And I trust me, it's bizarre, but it's the story of about a century ago in this country. It's also the story of Donald Trump. It's the story of us as a people and how we get caught up in things that we can't believe we're either believing or following or doing. I don't want to give too much away because the details are so bizarre, but the storytelling is beautiful.
Reply All is a really awesome example of a great podcast because Alex Goldman and PJ Vogt, the hosts of Reply All, actually launched one of the first public radio podcasts out of WNYC when they were younger. Before they started working for Gimlet, it was called TLDR. And it was a very short form, like internet culture podcast. And it spun off into this like great show that now so many other shows try to mimic that style of two best friend hosts going on reporting adventures together. It became like a little bit of a foundation for a lot of the podcasts that you hear today. It's also a shame that it had to crumble a little bit when PJ Vogt was canceled earlier this year. And he's no longer the host of that show.
Okay, that was a dark little interlude.
Sorry, you have to be relevant.
Yeah, can I still recommend that episode though? How does this work?
I think so. I mean, it was good reporting when it happened, and what happened at Reply All and at Gimlet, it was essentially a conversation over unions, and they were struggling with some racism, which I think a lot of public radio and a lot of podcast institutions struggle with on a regular basis.
Sure.
They just did so very publicly.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks for that.
86
Man of People. The story itself is the star of that one. It's not the people, it's the story. The next podcast on Beth Larder's list is what?
Okay, yeah, my next podcast is The Dropout. So this is a podcast that one of my friends introduced me to several years ago, and it's kind of a deep dive into the story of Elizabeth Holmes and Theranos. So just for some context, if people aren't aware of that, basically Theranos was a company that was started based on the premise that they would have these machines that would take just a pinprick of blood and could diagnose diseases and things like that. And it grew into this phenomenon, but the machine never really existed or worked. And so the first season really gets into kind of that whole development were basically turned into a huge con. And then this season, it's kind of just been lying dormant in my podcast app. I kind of forgot about this show, but they've just started back up to go through the trial of Elizabeth Holmes. So now they're kind of going into what are the legal ramifications of that and who are the victims of that? Are there victims of that? So, yeah, we have a quick clip from that.
One patient received a false HIV positive diagnosis. Some women received results indicating they were pregnant when they weren't. One woman who'd struggled with fertility for years got an inaccurate result indicating she had miscarried. Elizabeth's team also fought to exclude testimony from patients that went into the emotional impact of these inaccurate results. And they succeeded.
The judge is allowing the fact of the inaccurate result to come in and what that indicates, that can come into evidence, but he's not allowing some of that more, you know, emotional testimony about the effects sort of psychologically that it had on the witness. You know, I was emotionally devastated, things like that.
But false pregnancies, false HIV positive results, the government is banking on a jury understanding just how devastating that type of misdiagnosis would be. Emotional elaboration or not.
Okay, so the whole deal is a scam from the start, though. It was intended as a scam, yes?
Well, that's sort of what they kind of get into in the first season, is how much did she really believe that eventually they would be able to figure it out, and she was just trying to prolong the process until they could figure it out, and how much of it was actually intended the whole time as a scam. So that's kind of the fascinating part of the first season. So then this season, I think, we'll kind of get into what is her perspective on it now, and what is everybody's perspective on it now.
We're going to talk true crime coming up here a little bit, but this sort of almost feels like a true crime story.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
How did we get here? What genre would you put this in?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it really fits in a genre neatly. I would kind of put it into a category of long cons and like,
okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Have you listened to this one?
I listened to the first season. I'm excited for the second season. I didn't know it was back. But yeah, I would definitely put it in that kind of true crime genre. I think true crime, when you say that, people think like murder. But there are a lot of other like interesting, like heist or, you know, audio documentaries that I also think fit into there.
And Veronica, someone who has created and now produces a podcast of your own here. You know, you're in a public radio organization. There are conversations about possible podcast ideas. I mean, those come up all the time. And this one is off the ground. It's doing great. But there's a lot of great ideas out there that don't materialize. This story is so interesting to me, but you still have to find someone. You have to find a way to produce it and put it out there to the world. Generally, how do stories, whether it's Elizabeth Holmes or whatever the story that people decide to tell, how do you find a way to pitch that to a platform that's going to put it out there to the world?
Well, the first thing you have to make sure is that there are people who are going to be willing to be voices for that story. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's one thing to have, you know, documents on record or court testimony, but especially for this medium, you need people to talk. You need to hear the voices, the emotion behind it. And when it comes to pitching a good idea, I think, well, also, Earshot isn't the first podcast that we've done here at WXXI.
Oh, I know that.
I think it's worth taking a quick trip down memory lane. We had our own true crime podcast, Finding Tammy Joe, which we did with Gary Craig at the DNC.
Back in what, 20?
That was 2016, I think. Yeah, I know. I was just a baby. After that, we did Exited with Karen Chakurji, our health reporter, our former health reporter at the WXXI newsroom, which was about kids with disabilities who were aging out of the public school system and kind of the future that awaited them or didn't in some cases. So in the case of those two podcasts that were like serialized stories that we were telling over a period of time, you really have to know where the story is going, which is why I find this incredibly interesting, because it hasn't yet come to any sort of like finale. You kind of see the story unfolding as it happens.
Well, and whenever it does finish, if it's a compelling story, it'll be probably in that realm of podcasts like Finding Tammy Joe, where someone may bump into it 3, 5, 7 years later and binge the whole thing and go, that was fascinating. I mean, it's an important or amazing story. A great story in podcast serialized forms can live on for a long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, that's really what you're looking for in a podcast. It's what you're looking for in any sort of long form journalism, is a good story. And as reporters, I think it's our job to, you know, find those stories and explore those curiosities that we have that sparked that story in the first place.
Before we move on to your next one, Beth, let me just ask you a little bit about the form here, because the Elizabeth Holmes, the dropout pods are, how long is an episode?
I would say they're mostly around 40 minutes.
40 minutes. See, yeah. Podcasts have sort of blown up the whole consultant-based idea that we will always be having an ever, ever, ever shorter attention span.
Hmm.
And I love that. I love that that was wrong, but it took an audio form with really compelling content to prove that it was wrong. You work with kids, you know, I mean, do you see, I guess, what's the lesson to you about what compels you to listen and what you think has made podcasts so special?
Yeah, I don't know how much this applies to my work with kids, but for me, I think the reason I like podcasts so much is that I can multitask in a way that I can't when I'm watching or reading something. So it's a nice way to kind of use my time. Maybe, I don't know if efficiently is the word, but, you know, if I'm just doing dishes, but I'm listening to a podcast, now it's not boring anymore because it's like, oh, well, I'm also learning something or I'm also kind of experiencing this other thing. So I think it's just kind of brought more meaning to otherwise kind of mindless tasks.
Mundane tasks. Yeah.
That's the brilliance of podcasting, is that it was able to capture an audience where those other visual media couldn't. You know, there's times when you're walking or when you're driving, when you have to be looking at something in front of you. And there was like that space that we could fill with more content. So that's what we're doing.
Ever more content.
Ever more content.
Ever more content. Let's take our only break of the hour. We're going to come back with Veronica Volk, producer and editor for News, Arts, and Life at WXXI News, the creator, the producer, the host of Earshot, which you ought to be subscribing to. Beth Larder, a school librarian in Gates Chilai, and they are talking about their favorite pods that are out now, maybe new to you. And I've got a lot of your feedback, and we can share some of that as well. And we got more clips to share on the other side of this break. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connection, college students are back on campuses for another academic year in the pandemic. We talk with representatives from different schools about how they are handling safety. In our second hour, a conversation with local music teachers who share how their work has changed during the pandemic, from voice lessons to teaching students to instruments and more. That's Friday.
This is Veronica Volk from WXXI News, and we've got a new weekly podcast for you. It's called Earshot, and it's got all the most important, best told, sometimes off the beaten path news stories from your favorite WXXI and city reporters. Earshot comes out every Friday. Don't miss it. Subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.
This is Connections, but what this really is just a vehicle for Veronica Volk.
It's the Veronica Volk show now, ladies and gentlemen.
You just pitched your own podcast again in the break.
I'm just going to say Earshot so many times that the people listening to this show are going to dream about it and not even know why.
We cannot get away from you, literally. All right, so Earshot. So the next, what's the next one? Is it Earshot?
No.
Oh, it's not.
Earshot? No, we were talking about true crime a second ago. And one of the shows that I listened to earlier this year from WAMU is called Through the Cracks. And it is a true crime show, but it really takes the genre and kind of flips it on its head and does a lot more investigative reporting on the systemic injustices involved. Essentially, there was this little girl, Relisha Rudd, who went missing in Washington, D.C. And this podcast takes a really hard look at all the systemic failures that led to this disappearance and the subsequent investigation and lack thereof. And we actually have the intro of that show, Through the Cracks, that we're going to play for you right now.
Ever since the pandemic started, I've noticed people checking in on me more than usual. A text from an old coworker I haven't seen in a while. A video chat with high school friends just to see how life is going. All of these connections remind me that if something were to happen to me, if I went off the radar for just one day, someone would notice. This is what I think about every time I think about Relisha Rudd.
R-E-L-I-S-H-A.
R-E-L-I-S-H-A. Relisha lived in a homeless shelter in Washington, D.C. with her family. She loved bike races with her three little brothers, doing arts and crafts after school, and her favorite cartoon was Dora the Explorer.
The shelter gave us some place to stay.
Good. And now you say to her, and that's good.
Say it louder.
Say to her,
And that's good.
You on a thing.
In 2014, when she was just 8 years old, Relisha Rudd went missing. But it took 18 days before her family knew something was wrong. Everyone thought that she was with someone different, a family member or a trusted friend.
You know your granddaughter Relisha Rudd is missing. No, she's not. Yes, she is, ma'am. No, she's not. She's with Khalil Tatum.
Mr. Wheeler, you know where your daughter is? Yeah, she at Ashley House. They said, are you sure?
From that moment, that's when I found out that she was missing. I didn't even know that she was gone.
I'm Jonquilyn Hill, and from WAMU and PRX, this is Through the Cracks, a podcast about the gaps in our society and the people who fall through them.
While we're all a bit relieved that we did not find Relisha here the way we anticipated we would find her, it's heart-wrenchingly frustrating that we don't have answers as to where she is right now.
This season on Through the Cracks, how the district lost a girl, the story of Relisha Rudd. When the DC government investigated how Relisha went missing, they, quote, did not find evidence that these tragic events were preventable. So that's what we're looking into on this podcast. How could a child with an extended family network, teachers, and social workers all looking out for her just disappear?
How can you have a young girl abducted at a shelter that's run by the city, and apparently she's taken by an employee of the city who works at this shelter? How does that happen before anyone notices?
We have safety nets to try to prevent eviction, but they aren't enough.
Do we value the lives of poor Black children? And if so, what's the evidence of that? And what are we willing to do to truly make sure that this cannot happen again?
Relisha, if you hear us, we want you to know that we will never, ever stop searching for you.
Listen to Through the Cracks on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
So you really get a taste of it in that intro, but that podcast goes deep into, you know, the eviction that led to this girl's homelessness, what life was like in that shelter, and a lot of other injustices surrounding that disappearance. And, you know, it's been said about the true crime genre, and I think it's probably true, that it focuses a lot on the disappearances and murders of white women and of white children. Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think a big reason for that is that those investigations tend to be more robust. And this podcast really does a good job of remaining personal and human and really exploring like what went wrong in this case.
I know the ship has sailed on this and I am in favor, but I also know that early on in the podcasting sort of era, there was a question on, can you really throw a bass line in there? Can you use that? Can you use music? You know, you're manipulating my emotions, but that music was so good.
It was very good.
It was very effective. And you are as good as anybody I've ever met in understanding the nuances of production.
Music is hard.
It's really hard, isn't it, to get the right fit?
Because you do want to help add layers to your story, but you don't want to manipulate people. It's difficult.
Well, you're pushing people in a direction with the music.
Sure. And it's, you know, it's also just hard to find like the correct tones to convey like the right feeling that you're supposed to have in that moment. It's really, it's hard.
Is it when you find something that really clicks? Is it such a great moment? Great,
it's like you're right in the pocket, and it's like yes, nailing it.
Beth Lutter, are you listening to any true crime?
Not really. No.
No true crime.
I have too
for you?
Much of an anxious disposition for true crime.
So no true crime, and we don't have fiction on. No fiction, right? Today?
No, not this time.
You know, like, I mean, this again. I'm so out of date here, but I thought, when the Limetowns of the world came out, that it was going to launch sort of...
Do you remember Limetown?
I do.
That was so fun.
It was poorly acted, but it was interesting.
It was very interesting, and it was new. So that's what made it even more interesting.
But has it gone anywhere? Is fiction podcasting... Does it have any legs?
I'm really the wrong person to ask.
So not for you is the answer.
Not that it's not for me. It's, you know, and I feel like my best of list reflects this. I have a hard time finding podcasts that aren't, you know, produced by large organizations with the money to like market it on other podcasts that I'm already listening to, or push it in the Apple Podcast
feed. So you're
feed.
Just perpetuating an unequal system.
I really am. It's tragic. If you're listening to the show and you know good indie podcasts, find me on Twitter, at Volk Veronica.
Yes.
Yes, blow it up.
We don't need Malcolm Gladwell. I mean, he's got enough money. Fiction for you? No?
Not lately, no. But kind of the same reason. I think I'm not seeing it.
It's so hard to find the time. It's really tough. Mark writes to say, Evan, some of the best podcasts out there are Spooked, True Life Ghost Stories, Everything is Alive, Interviews with Ordinary Objects.
Oh, that is such a good
Adam, a stool. In the Studio, interviews with artists of any genre, from shoe designers to playwrights, Left, Right, and Center, covering politics from all sides, Helga, an excellent interview program, and of course, Earshot.
Hey, did he really say that?
He did. It's right there in the email.
Thanks, Mark.
That is from Mark. What was the one on
Everything is Alive.
Everything is
As
alive.
We talk about fiction podcasts, this is actually a fiction podcast that I have listened to. Not recently, but it's incredible. They bring, inanimate objects to life, and they interview them. And it's just it's just so well put together. And it takes itself very seriously and ends up being like adorable and sometimes emotional.
I love that. Okay, next one. Beth Larder, you have, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
So NPR listeners should know, but go ahead.
Yeah, most people probably know this one, but this is for me, like I have my queue kind of lined up of podcasts I'm listening to. And then when a new one of these episodes comes out, it kind of gets bumped up to the top every time. So that's kind of what this podcast is for me. Yeah, it's been a minute with Sam Sanders. Sam is just one of the best interviewers. He's very empathetic. He's very like in touch with everything that's happening and very curious to learn more. The show is a really nice blend of kind of news stories, pop culture, just fun stories, serious stories. This episode that I have a clip for was one that I was listening to it when I was on one of my little walks, and I like had to go back and re-listen to it because I was just like, this cannot be real, but like I believe that it's real, but this is so strange. So it was a whole story, but basically it was about influencers being contacted to basically promote false information about vaccines, and a few influencers kind of recognize like, I probably shouldn't do this, but maybe someone should look into where these are coming from. So then they started looking into it, and it just kind of got more wild from there. So we can play the clip.
PR company sent out this little three-pager that influencers often get, asking them to promote, you know, vacation packages or beauty products, but instead it asked them to spread these very specific falsehoods and conspiracies about the Pfizer COVID vaccine.
That is Max Fisher. He's an international reporter at the New York Times. And that PR company he's talking about, they were exposed by European influencers who did not take the bait. And after that, people began to dig.
It turned out it was actually basically a shell subsidiary of this Moscow-based company called AdNow that is just a like email spammer, basically, kind of like the shadiest bottom barrel kind of internet company you can imagine. And it turned
what that PR company was doing, that bottom barrel email spammer, Max calls this disinformation for hire.
Wow.
All right. So Sam is, I mean, he's an institution now. I mean, Sam's amazing. But you said every time a new one comes out, you bump it up. How often? How often is a new one dropping?
There's two every week.
Two in a week. Okay. Are you listening?
Two, it's been a minute?
Yeah.
I used to religiously, and then it kind of fell off of my queue. I'm more interested in serialized podcasts myself. That's just my own listening pattern. But yeah, Sam Sanders, he's incredible. And I'm just like so glad that they found this vehicle for him to like have a voice in the public, in the podcast sphere, I guess. But for me, my show that gets bumped up to like first in the queue every time is going to be This American Life. It's like I have been listening to that show.
Oh, and I'm the one who does the classic.
You know what? It manages to stay good.
I love that.
Been on the air for years. And I like when I think about when I first started listening to that show, I think it probably had such a large effect on me that I ended up sitting in a public media organization however many years later, probably somewhat because of it.
Wow. A lot of comedy shares from listeners. Listeners are really it's a lot of individual comedians have their own podcasts, apparently. Oh, there's also a lot of sports podcasts being here. A lot of sports bros listening today, which is great. A lot of sports out there. I don't think you're doing sports podcasts.
Don't you dare generalize.
You
me.
Call it sprots one
Why
time.
Why would you say that?
Because you call it sports.
Is it because I'm a woman?
No, would you stop?
Are you kidding?
Beth Barter probably does listen to sports podcasts. Oh.
You're absolutely spot on. I don't listen to sports podcasts. But, yeah. You know, I think that's really, I love the idea that, you know, these people have such big personalities that they're able to, like, get in front of a microphone and kind of talk and bring their friends in and interview people. And they create this, like, whole, you know, product that's basically like their own show. I love that so much.
All right. Let's see here. Mary Ellen says, We Can Do Hard Things is her podcast. Mel says, I don't know if I'm allowed to say this. Rob will decide if we have to bleep this. It's, if you're into Irish history told by funny dudes, it's called Shite Talk. I think that, yeah, I don't know. Rob's...
We're going to go with it.
Okay. We were on the fence. Sorry if anybody's offended. Let's not lose the license. But Mel says if you're into Irish history told by funny dudes, that's a good one.
Yeah. Okay, you got to slow down. I'm writing these down. Hold on.
Okay, Mac, don't make me say that again.
I'm not.
I said it once already. Mary Ellen says We Can Do Hard Things. Seth says Green Light Podcast. Boy, there's a bunch that I have never heard of that people are...
I need more background if you're going to send in your ex. Tell me what the show's about.
Jake Vojtovich, our buddy Jake, says he likes The Rest is History, a great selection of 40 to 60-minute pods on things in history. Quite a range. Very entertaining, and I always learn. So The Rest is History there. And you've got one more to share. I don't want to lose time here. I don't know how long the last clip is. So what do you got, Veronica?
I don't know if we have time for it.
Get to it now.
Okay, so this is a wartime deep dive. It's called The Line, and we'll play a clip from it right now.
In 2018, a group of Navy SEALs, among the most secretive fighting forces in the world, one by one walked into a tiny interrogation room and started talking.
He would sit on his sniper rifle all day long, just like, taking shots.
Accusing their chief, Eddie Gallagher, of war crimes.
Holy shit. You know, we're gonna see an ISIS dude, like, in the face.
All of a sudden, maybe you just start stabbing the dude.
If he knows it, I know this, you know?
Did a Navy SEAL cross the line?
If, in fact, he did stab that detainee, that is dead wrong.
They're told to go kill a bunch of these guys, and then they're told how. And that's not always very clear.
How many Navy SEALs do you think are crying over dead terrorists? Including Eddie.
Since September 11th, 2001, American war has become more covert, and the Navy SEALs have become the tip of the spear. And your job was basically manhunting.
Yeah, we captured hundreds upon hundreds of people.
How blurred has the line gotten between right and wrong in war? We talked to more than 50 special operators to find out.
Every choice was between wrong and wrong.
Something happened that shouldn't have happened. Cannot unring the bell.
And so you can stand up there and you can lie.
V, tell us about this one.
So this one, listen, as we continuously see the effects of the war in Afghanistan unfold on the news, I love using podcasts as a way to contextualize everything, to really take like a broader look. This is a good show to kind of contextualize that the way that some of these, quote, forever wars have changed the military forever. And it's from the creator of Running with Cops, which is actually a show that I recommended the last time we were on this pod show. And it uses this war crime that actually happened during the Iraq War and the subsequent trial as this lens through which to view like modern military history. And it's very well done. So highly recommend.
Okay. Beth, had you heard of this one?
No. Yeah, this is a new one for me.
See,
too.
This is so good. We're getting all these great new recommendations. The folks who produce the Professional Left podcast sent me a note. Their home is listed as Cornfield, Central Illinois. And it was shared by a listener who wanted us to know that it's sort of a look at politics in the center of the country from a cornfield adjacent studio.
Interesting.
So
that's great.
So there you go. Yeah, long list. It goes
a lot
on
of
here.
Political podcasts too. Absolutely. I mean, like if you want to, and that's one of the things about podcast length that I find so interesting is that you can have a show that's 3 hours long. That's one, you know, political analyst or even just one political writer kind of spouting off about the current state of things. Our podcast is a little bit shorter, perfect for your commute, perhaps 15 to 20 minutes. So it's less of a commitment.
What's our podcast? Which one is that? Oh, Earshot.
Earshot. Earshot.
From WXXI.
Earshot. I mean, listeners of Connections don't have a problem with short attention span, so it might not be a selling point for you guys. Kidding?
Everybody's got something that they do, a drive somewhere, an activity that's 15 to 20 minutes that is made for Earshot. Made for podcasts, but Earshot. Made for Earshot.
Earshot.
Beth, what are you going to listen to? Is it Earshot?
Yeah, Earshot. Yeah. Earshot?
Real quick here, we got 40 seconds. What else is on the list that you would have put on if you had one more pick here, Beth Larder?
Oh, one more pick. I'm going to say Sounds Good with Brandon Harvey. It's just a really good podcast where they want to share actually good news, not just feel good news. And they do a really nice job kind of highlighting what people are doing all around the world.
Positively Speaking by my buddy Fitz, Scott Fitzgerald. He tries to talk to people and about what uplifts them. And it's really, Scott does a great job with that. He's a good dude. So I like the theme and the one you chose there. Oh, and Rob, engineer Rob Braden wants us to know he has an earworm from the word earshot that's probably just going to be ringing in his head, and Veronica Volk is celebrating that. V, anything else you want to leave us with as we close the hour?
Did I mention Earshot?
Besides Earshot.
You're putting me on the spot. I couldn't even tell you. But subscribe to the show. You can find us online at WXXINews.org, or you can find us wherever you find your podcasts.
We love it. You're doing wonderful work there. Our colleagues, I know they appreciate it. Thank you, Veronica Volk.
Thank you, Evan Dawson.
And Beth Larder, it's always fun. Thanks for the wonderful ideas here. Thanks for sharing your time as well. Good luck with back to school.
Thank you.
The whole team here at Connections wants you to know that if you're not subscribed to Earshot, we will come find you. And if you are by now, well, you probably are. Listen, Veronica, it's good. It's called Earshot. Rob Braden, Megan Mack, Emma Ray Stein, Evan Dawson saying thanks, and we will Earshot with you tomorrow.